Welcome to the VIP Ignite podcast, your source for tomorrow's talent today. Hear real life stories of models, actors, and musicians breaking down barriers, launching careers, and sharing their stories of overcoming obstacles and finding real success. They will activate the winner in you by revealing the path with their best tips and advice.
Hello, everyone. My name is Denise White, and I am the host of the Coffee in the Green Room podcast, and I am so excited to have you here today. Here at Coffee in the Green Room, we have the conversations that you don't have in front of the stage. You have in the green room before you take the stage. Cheryl, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course.
Awesome. So today, my special guest is Cheryl Connor. She is a publicist. She does PR for people that are in need of PR, shall we say. So Cheryl, can you introduce yourself a little bit for my audience?
Sure. I've been in PR for, gosh, more years than I should probably admit, but both corporate, individual, everything in between, have learned so much along the way and am just excited to share anything that I can because it is so important. Communication runs the world. We know it.
It does. It does. So how did you get your start in PR to begin with?
I got into PR by, I guess, fortunate accident. I was an English minor, majored in something else, thought that's what I was going to do, then ended up in supporting my family, becoming a writer. And it was quite interesting. I've earned every gray hair. But when I first learned that I was going to be doing the field that I was doing and got into the writing work, I got very interesting news that women in writing could earn minimum wage. That was it.
Wow.
Public relations pays much more. It's much more worthwhile. And that's where I've stayed. That's where I've grown my business.
That's awesome. So when people think PR, they think of a lot of different things. They think of the person that comes out before a press conference. They think of a lot of different things. So can you break down a little bit about what a PR person really does?
Sure. A PR person, well, I know a lot of them who were in the limelight quite a bit. That's really not the gist of it. It's not the crux. The PR person is generally in the background, but making certain that everything about your communication to your audience is effective. There is so much to it. Making certain it's the right message, the right program, the right timing. I've seen so many people get mistaken, just get caught up in the idea that, oh, we've got to tell our story. We've got to be seen. We've got to be known. And I've just had that dissolve into no business benefit or worst case disasters because it's poor timing. There's the famous story of a company, a tech company, who got pitched and covered by Fortune magazine, but the coverage happened in a timing where they'd had a bad financial quarter. Well, granted, they were talking about technology, but hey, Fortune is a financials magazine. It could not have been worse timing. There was a 2 or 3 page feature in the magazine, thanks to the avid pitching of somebody who didn't think that through. It was awful. It decimated their business.
Oh my goodness.
So that's awful. Or these days, if people misspeak in front of the press or don't think through the kind of program that they're on, that can be a problem. And also, we've got to remember that it can work for or against us, that when there's bad news, people tune in.
Yeah.
Well, if you can lend some wisdom, some value add to that, then that's a plus. That's a positive time for you to be appearing. If you can't, or if you're the cause of the bad news, trying to over-explain it and go at that badly, that can be even worse. So, but communication is the traction. It's getting known and recognized. Here's a good case in point. We just completed a big PR launch this week, 2 days ago, for a company who found us. We're based in, I'm in Boise, Idaho. Our company's headquartered in Salt Lake City, Utah. The company found us through their UK headquarters, found us on the web. Because I publish often enough about issues relative to PR, that's how they knew. They knew our sensibilities. They knew our capabilities, found it on the web, and there we are. So it can be so beneficial. It is vital, and you need some expertise, at least for guidance and connections.
Yeah. So one of the things that you always hear is no press is good, no press is bad press. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Nah, not the case anymore. So many times, the biggest press is bad press. And that's true. That's a phenomenon. We've got to remember it. You can be in the press by mistake or by accident. And the first thing you need to do is hold your wits about you and recognize, okay, the floodlight's upon me. Key question. The one thing anyone should take away from this is, so what did that open up for me? What does that open up for me? Really know the answers to those questions, or even more simply, why? You know, like my grandchildren would ask me, let's go to the park. Why? And they keep asking, why? Until they're satisfied that it's the right answers. And then, okay, let's go. So really ask yourself before every opportunity that you're going to seek or that comes your way, why? How will this benefit my message, my audience? What value add can I bring to them? How will that translate to business? And honestly, that process, if you break it down into a formula, it can be easier than you think. But know all of those answers. Don't be seen everywhere just to be seen. And just really think through what you're representing and why you're going to be there before you go forward.
I love that. So let's dive a little bit more into that, to the, what you just said. You said know why you're there and what you're representing. Yes. Because I think so many times, like a lot of my audience will be either brand new entrepreneurs who are throwing everything out on social media. See me, pick me, see me. Or even a lot of actors, models, and musicians who are like, maybe they're just getting their start and they don't have a lot of like, hey, this is what I've done. So a lot of times people want to go out and be seen. So how can you determine, I guess this is a branding question more than anything. Like how do you help people navigate the waters of where to be seen and why they should be seen there?
Well, we do what we call messaging. And there is an actual exercise that we perform where I would, in the role of an interviewer, ask a lot of questions and then gather what I think is pertinent, what's going to be, and then think through, who are you or your company as an entity, as a brand? What do you represent? What are the characteristics of it? Who will be compelled by this? Yeah. You probably are more compelling, and maybe for different reasons, to some audiences than others. Write them all down. Think about them. Honestly, if you're an organization, your future employees, that's part of who you want to be seen, and your competitors, yeah. Whether you want them to see you or not, they will. They will. And if you do not brand yourself overtly and consistently, somebody else is going to brand you for you. And it's not going to be your friends. It's going to be probably your enemies who characterize you if you're not really out there and established in your own right. So the first thing to do, and if I were supporting you, I would do that with you, determine all of those right answers. If I were to describe you in two words, and that's not necessarily a formal branding tagline, but if I were to describe you in a couple of words, what would I say? Mm-hmm. How would I choose those words? We don't want you either to go out there into the public and be just full of information or just full of yourself. And, you know, people say, so who is that? What is it? What do they do? You know, somebody comes to me and says, I need to be on Meet the Press. I can talk coherently and interestingly about so many topics. Well, true. Absolutely true. They're not going to choose you. If you're not recognized as important in a certain way, as an authority on a certain topic, it won't matter that you're interesting or say whatever you have to say to get me on there. I'll do well when I get there. No, they want to know what you stand for and what you're going to say before you say it.
Yeah.
Then be interesting when you get there. So all of those things need to be decided in advance. And ultimately, we'd have it boiled down to a couple of paragraphs. If there were 100 words, you know, 70 words, whatever, and then you consistently are described in that way, that is important. That is vital. Put it out there. You know, I help organizations. There's an organization I'm helping in, the University of Connecticut. They have a performance series, and they've got these amazing, amazing Grammy-winning, all kinds of performers come. Those performers who've defined themselves, and there is a place where I can see, you know, what do you stand for? What are you? What's the genre of music? What have you done that's interesting? What in your background is interesting? And can pull that. And if there are really good, interesting, appropriate photos, I can pull that. I can even put it in for people to get more if they need. Yeah. They've made that job easy for me, and they've assured they're going to consistently get good press. If they haven't, you know what? It's secondhand. I'm going to look around. I'm going to see what's on their Instagram. I'm going to see what reviews said about them and whatever that reviewer said. Better hope it was good, because that's all I've got to work from in publicizing this performer. So be consistent, and heaven forbid, don't be one of those people who, when you're asked, what do you do? If you had an hour, I could tell you, but anything less than that, there's so much. I'd be leaving something out. It's like, okay, bye.
I never trust those people. Oh, how many hours do you have? No, if you can't tell me in like 30 seconds or less, then I don't think you really know what you do.
You really don't. You're excited about it. I can see that. Or you turn into a fire hose, and that's I see situations where the reporter never gets a chance to ask a question because they're flooded with the floodgate, and it's a miserable experience for them. And they walk away and say, I don't know. So don't be any of those people. Be really cohesive. We get that messaging down. What I typically do then is, let's do a press release. Let's announce something newsworthy. But then all of this evidence goes into it. We're going to be able to control every word of a press release. But that is at least a foundation. That's a start. And if there's an article or two that they can find, and also as you do that, make certain that your website, you know, that messaging should appear on the website. Your social media properties, they should properly represent you. If it's not accurate and not clear who you are through those, that's going to be a challenge. Mm-hmm. So don't shine the floodlight. And then when people, they do a couple of things, they'll look on your website and they'll run a search in Google. And if what they find contradicts with what you're trying to tell them now, that's going to be a problem. Or if it's really not substantiated anywhere else, or if it's contradicted anywhere else, that's going to be a problem. But those are basic steps. And if those are in place, you at least have a good starting point.
Yeah. And again, I guess consistency is so important, because you said that word multiple times here. So
I have.
Be consistent in your messaging. But for someone who's brand new and just starting out, whether it's an entrepreneur or an actor, a model, musician, like, how do they start to establish those things? Because if you've not done something worthy of putting out a press release, or you haven't been interviewed in a magazine, like, how do you start setting the foundation for that consistency?
Well, get started with something like VIP Ignite. That would be obvious, because then you're in the company of others and of really talented resources who can give you templates, can give you ideas, can give you direct support. But get out there on social media, and you know, if it's nothing more than a photographic portfolio and you're writing a blog, put that out, share that. It would be easy with a little bit of help to just get that initial bearing under you. That starts, and you can be open about, I'm getting started in this arena. Here are the kind of things I'm looking for. You know, look for connections, network. Who do I know who can help? Network, be in the places where those networks exist. Talk to people, get their suggestions. The people who have already succeeded, who have gone the path that you're going to be going, ask them, what did you do? What did you do first? What did you do second? Mm-hmm. It's going to be that knowledge plus connections that get you off the ground and get you into your first opportunities. And then there's this funny note, but there's some reality to it, humble bragging. Mm-hmm. You can put out a post. Don't be egotistical about it, but let people know, I was very excited for this opportunity. I learned a lot on the way, making me know my next opportunities will be even better when I arrive.
Yeah.
But this is what I did, and I'm really proud of it, and I welcome your feedback. And now you're catching people's interest. They see it. But then make certain that you're networking with the right people. You know, you're asking the right people for advice, for input, and doing it in a courteous way.
Yeah. And again, being consistent too. One of the things we tell all of our talents, whether they're brand new or they've been with us for a long time, we always tell them, like, always share your journey. Like, we're going to be in New York City in a couple of weeks, and they're going to have the opportunity to perform for someone who's a member of the Friars Club. They're going to have an opportunity to do all these things. And we're like, okay, proximity plus proof equals power. So start sharing your journey. When you're in the moment, make sure you're taking photos, make sure you're documenting it. And then when people look onto your Instagram, they're going to be like, wow, how did this person who has no experience get all of these connections and do all of this? So thank you so much for sharing that, because it's like, I'm sure you feel this way too sometimes, Cheryl. for us, it's like, okay, mom told me to do this. And I'm like, I don't necessarily believe mom, but when dad comes in and says the same exact thing, all of a sudden it starts making sense.
Yeah. And in those networking opportunities, of course, get the photos with those people who are well-known and who have a big following.
Yeah.
Tag them.
Yep.
Get those photos, post those. And because all of that following is then the halo now encompasses you and gives you credibility that, oh, you're in the mix. You're in the crowd. You're not somewhere in Lincoln, Maine, and nobody can knows you or can find you.
Yeah, that's true. So let me ask you another question. So when a lot of times people, they know that, we'll keep with the entertainment industry. They know that they need an agent. They know that they need a manager. When is a good time to bring in a PR professional?
I am a PR professional, and I'm going to tell you the sooner the better. Don't die and hang yourself if you've already gone out there without one. And in fact, you may learn from the lessons of people who've tried that.
Yeah.
The stat rule is go as far as you can without hiring big time representation.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, do get expert counsel from someone. And mainly what you're going to need in those early stages is their strategic guidance and their connections, those two things.
Yeah. Okay.
And that, you know, don't mortgage your home and empty your savings account and just say, get me seen, because worst case, you may be seen and it may not be in a good light.
Yeah. You want to make sure you have that foundation set before you're really seen consistently.
Yes.
You have to be consistent so you can be consistent.
Well, and some of these people, when you say, I need publicity, I need marketing, I need PR, so many things fall in that category.
Yeah.
And when I look around, there are some who have stature, they have gravitas, they get things done, they have sophistication, and there are some who are screaming from a microphone with a mohawk and fluorescent clothing and, you know, does the resource that you're talking to, you know, find out what they've done and for whom. Take a look at it. Ask those individuals. Don't be taken in by what they can say that, you know, I can get you quoted in three places in 2 days kind of thing. Well, they may not be meaningful quotes and it may not even happen. So just be a little cognizant of look around, see who like you, who's successful, what did they do? Who did they use? Get examples from whoever you're thinking about working with, and don't hesitate to have a number of good conversations. The really good resources are not going to pressure you.
Yeah.
But the conversations can be really valuable.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So take your time and consideration in all of that front as well.
Yeah, because it's really the person who represents you, whether it's an agent or a PR person, it can make or break you, literally.
Absolutely.
So that's great advice. Thank you so much.
Of course.
All right, Cheryl. So being in PR, you help put other people in the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
Question I have for you that I love to ask on this podcast is, how do you want to be remembered in 10, 15, 20, 30 years mm-hmm. when someone says, Cheryl Connor, how do you want to be remembered?
Well, I'm pretty lucky because I've had to ask that question and I've done so much publishing. There was a certain point, and this has been maybe 12-ish years ago, that I realized I am not the resource I could be if I'm armchair quarterbacking, if I haven't had the pressure of being on camera, if I've not been on stage, if I'm not published in the big, big arenas. I've done all of those things. And particularly the speaking, all of those things, the photographic things are worthwhile, but the things that appear in print, if you look up my name, you will know how I want to be remembered because it's easily found. And most of it is the columns that I wrote, most especially for Forbes, for Inc., for Entrepreneur. I haven't published very much recently because I've been using my time in other arenas. But guess what? The web doesn't forget.
That's true.
That anthology of material, yes, it's rented ground. But anybody who goes on, you know, the Muckrack database, they'll see 752 results. And the only problem in that, and it's never just slam dunk everything, that there are false results that come up because in particular, Entrepreneur Magazine, my name may show up as a result because my articles were advertised on a page where somebody else's current article exists.
Okay.
That's a problem. So you might see five or six things that are not really, you know, yeah, I appeared there, but it wasn't my story. But go in deep enough. And in fact, on something like Muckrack as well, it says featured articles, and you'd see the four I'm most proud of.
Oh, wow.
Even though those were years ago. And you know, I one time I was a guest author for a piece in Wall Street Journal. I'm still proud of that. That
was I would be too.
Quite a while ago. But all of the things that I've written, interestingly, that was how I became known as an authority in crisis PR. Not that I ever proclaimed it or had any ambition or desire to do such a thing. I'd rather talk to people about prevention. But because I've written so much on that topic, that is a big theme that comes up when people look me up and they draw their own conclusion, or word of mouth because of people I've supported and helped. Either way, I'd say beyond just the word of mouth network, you want results to show up on Google that are true and accurate, not just, oh, she's seen, she's out there, but are really accurate to, so what value does she bring to the world? And why would I want to know about it?
That's awesome. I love that. Very good. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for being on the podcast. So I know you alluded to a couple of places where you can be found, but if someone is interested in learning more about you, where can they find you?
Cheryl Snap Connor, just run that Google search. Our agency's website is snapconner.com, snapconner.com. But honestly, just run a Google search and you don't need to remember how to spell it because you'll get to it easily. And I'll give a consultation to anyone who would like one, so I can be one of those sources that you speak to just for ideas and value add. And I look forward to doing that.
Awesome. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I learned a lot in our time together today. I really appreciate this. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. If you are listening to this edition, this episode of the VIP of the Coffee in the Green Room podcast, make sure you hit subscribe because you never know who my next guest is going to be here at Coffee in the Green Room. Thank you so much for listening and make sure you hit subscribe. Bye.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you for listening to the VIP Ignite podcast. For free resources and to learn more about how to become a model, actor, or musician, please head over to ammsociety.com. And if you loved this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and leave us a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you.